I want to introduce to you a couple that we have known for many, many, many years, and that's Lloyd and Irene Osborne. And I asked Lloyd if he would come down and speak, since I had two funerals yesterday, and I've been wanting to have him come
down and visit the church and speak for a long time, so it was a great opportunity to do that. We've known Lloyd and Irene for many, many years, and I remember all the years that Carol used to take kids to camp. And they were always camp, down at the camp and helping to lead people. Lloyd and Irene pastored in Tumwa Four Square Church for many, many years. In fact, they built High Point Chapel down there in Tumwa. And that was they had a great work, and they've done a great ministry. They've been faithful servants for many, many years. In fact, Lloyd and Irene's daughter, she pastors the Four Square Church in Des Moines. And I know that Lloyd and Irene are always helping out there, and so it was nice for them to be able to get a break and give us a break and come down and see us. So, Lloyd, if you'd come forward this morning. I got to tell you a story. Lloyd, he called me. He says, "Well, what should I wear?" I said, I usually just wear a vest and I wear a bolo tie. I don't usually wear a tie to church. So I got up this morning. My mind's going on me, you guys. I got up this morning and Carol says, "You're putting on a suit?" I said, "Well, yeah, Lloyd will have a suit on."
"All I need is a horse." Yeah, we had, you know, Carol come down and preach a few times at the High Point when I was there. And there's a lady in the church that's still, you know, she's 87. And every now and then she says, "Pastor, who was that cowboy that came down and preached?" I always referred to him as the cowboy. Is it going to be here? He doesn't know what he's getting in for to have him here. But there's a couple of things, though, I need to correct right quick. One or two of you look familiar. Now, I'm trying to figure out where I've seen you at, and I discovered where it was at. It was on the post office. Most one of those. Yeah, right. Hey, listen. It's a joy to be here. I'm excited. I know that there's two words I have for you this morning. And so I thank you for my technical director, Andrew, that's helping me out. And if there's any problem, we'll correct it. Right, Andrew? Right. So anyway, this morning, we got the title up there, Andrew, throw it up there. The topic I'm going to talk is, God is working in your life. All right? You need to note that.
You heard about the preachers out visitation, doing some visitation work the other day. And he stopped at this one house with grandma and the grandson. And pastor was talking, and he looked at the young whippersnapper, and he said some comments about mom, and he says, "Yeah, Grandma, she prays for me every night before we go to bed." She does? He said, "Yeah." And the pastor said, "Well, what does she pray?" And she prays, "Thank God he's asleep." Hey, this morning, I wanted you to turn in your Bibles, the book of Philippians, in the New Testament. The book of Philippians. It's an exciting book. Philippians. It's after the book of Ephesians. Okay? A powerful book. There's only 104 verses in it. So some of you guys can read it. It may take you the week, but it's okay. There's four chapters in it. But chapter 2 is the one we're going to focus on this morning. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison. Okay, I'm going to give you a little background. In Acts chapter 16, you'll read the story of Paul going to Philippi on his second missionary journey. And you probably don't want to go with him, because the Apostle Paul and Silas went to Troas. From Troas, they ended up in Neapolis, and from Neapolis, they ended up in Philippi. His first convert, he had a successful ministry there. His first convert was Lydia, the seller of purple. Okay? Then he had to deal with a woman that had a bad spirit and cast the spirit out. And then some of the spiritual leaders in the city said, "Paul and Silas is creating a nuisance in the city and preaching false teachings." And so they arrested him, beat him up, and threw him in jail. Sound like somebody wanting to volunteer for ministry today? What happened? Paul and Silas didn't give up. At midnight, I mean, there's open wounds on their body. The Bible said they were beaten with stripes and thrown into prison. And the Apostle Paul and Silas, and I'd love to hear their music. I don't think they carry a tune in the bucket or not. But the Bible says at midnight they begin to sing praises and to worship the Lord. Hey, notice, but when they begin to sing and worship and praise God, something began to happen. You know what happened? They created an earthquake. God caused an earthquake to fall upon that jail. And the Bible says the foundation of the prisons was broke open and the doors came unloosened and the chains fell off of the prisoners. Hey, you begin to pray and something will begin to happen. Church, don't give up on prayer just because it's difficult. When you begin to pray, something will happen. God moves in prayer. Ask of me and I'll give you. There's Psalms chapter 2. I didn't put that down, Andrew. Psalms chapter 2, verse 8. He says, ask of me and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. Hallelujah. Want to grow? Ask God. He'll give it to you. You got to desire it. But so anyway, that's what happened to the Apostle Paul. God works in your life. God is at work in you. Philippians 2:13. That's my verse of scripture. Look at it. For it is God which worketh in you both to do and will of his good pleasure. I believe this morning as I come here that this verse of scripture is for somebody in this church. I believe all week long I've wrestled with, I need a ream of paper, Leo, before I leave today. I went through a ream of paper preparing this sermon. It's tough being a pastor. I did my sister's funeral a month ago. She passed away of cancer. And I forgot to tell my sister, other sister, I said, I need a ream of paper because I went through another ream of paper. I mean, I keep the paper business busy because I start in something that's scratchy. But listen, I believe this morning that this verse of scripture is for some of you in this church, that it is God that is working in you, notice that, to both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, you may not always be willing to do what God wants you to do. I'll give you another illustration. In the book of Exodus, Andrew, I didn't put that up. In Exodus chapter 4, we have God calling Moses. Remember what Moses is doing? He's herding sheep on the backside of the desert. He's enjoying himself. He thought he was retired, but he wasn't. And God said, listen. God appeared to him in the burning bush. And God says, hey, listen, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt. And Moses is doing what some of you will do. Pastors do the same thing. And if there's somebody here that hasn't done this, then I want to talk to you after church. Something's wrong. Because Moses, oh, wait a minute. You want me to go back there? Don't you understand? I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified for this. God said, wait a minute. I want you to go back. And so Moses made this other statement. What's this? He said, hey, listen. I can't talk very well. Hot diggity dog, join the crowd. Most of us have a speech impediment anyway, don't we? A problem with speech. But God said, but listen, God is that. Notice what this verse said. It is God who works in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. Hey, God answered Moses' prayer even before he asked it. Remember what he said? God said, hey, listen, Moses. Moses said, I can't talk very well. I stutter. Moses, listen, at this very moment, your brother Aaron is coming down to meet you. And you're going to talk to him, and you're going to put Lloyd's translation of the King James Version. Moses, you're going to put words in his mouth, and he's going to go along with you. How many of you have done that? Put words in somebody else's mouth. Or from Hebrews chapter 10, Andrew, I didn't put this up there either. I can't help it. I got some of these scriptures that just pop in. You know, Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another to provoke into love and to good works. Have you heard that one? I use that at church. The fellow in the fifth seat back by the alley, you got a black shirt on. You're the one I saw in the post office. And this is your verse. This is what I tell kids at church. I get to provoke you. You have to love me and do good works. He said, let us, King James, let us consider one another to provoke and to love and good works. In other words, to motivate you to go on farther than where you're at now. See, and that's what, and so God intercepted Moses' prayer before he even got done and said, hey, Moses, Aaron's on his way right now, and you're going to talk to him, and you're going to put words in his mouth, and he's going to go along with you. God already got the answer for you. God will ask you to do something. Some things may not work the way you want them to work in your life, right? You didn't get the promotion. You didn't get the pay raise. You didn't get the house that you wanted. You didn't get the loan to go through. I mean, this, you can list all the different things could have happened. Well, it should have happened to me. But listen, Proverbs, I got this one down, Andrew. Proverbs 16, verse 9. Man plans his way, but God directs your step. You got that? That's another verse. Man plans his way, but God will direct your steps. And so we need to know, listen, it is God willing to work in you and to do of his good pleasure. God wants to put the desire in your heart to do. What he wants you to do is he wants you to do, one, is trust the Lord with all thy heart. And lean not unto thy own understanding. 1 Thessalonians, we got this, Andrew, if you got it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. What's it say? He who called you is faithful. Also, he will do it. He wants you to know that God will do it. God's asking some of you, God's dealing with some of you, and I don't know what it is, but I know God's dealing with some of you in the church this morning. And you may be hesitant like Moses, all right? But God's asking you to trust him and be obedient. He will make a way for you. He will open the doors. You'll say, well, I'm not qualified. Scratch that off your list. That's not acceptable. God calls people. Corinthians says he takes the foolish things, the wise confounded. God calls people who are unqualified, but guess what? You get on-the-job training. Yeah. Hey, wait, fellas. Oh, I got this one. This is a good one. You guys that are married, you might win a premarital marriage situation before you got married, but you didn't have any schooling until you got into school in the marriage, right? The day you said, I do, is the day you entered into the school of marriage. And it's a learning process from then on, Pastor Leo. Hey, I've got a good amen. Hey, listen, you guys, it's a learning experience as you go along. God calls you, but God, as you go along, God prepares you. You get on the school training. And that's what God's asking you to do. God says, I will not leave you comfortless. I'll not leave you alone in John 14. Andrew, I didn't put that on there either. John 4. God says, listen, I will not leave you comfortless. But I will send the Holy Spirit who will be in you and with you. And also, he says, he will teach you and lead you into all truth. Read the book of John 14, chapter 14. Hey, God says, I'll lead you. You have to trust. So what we have to do, the number one point is we have to learn to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Psalm 37. Okay. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, and he will direct your step. Proverbs said, delight yourself in the Lord. How many? Hey, it could be Psalm 37, but it could be Proverbs too. Yeah, my commentary is a little loose this morning. Hey, listen, but what you need to know is 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he that called you. So number one, we learn is to trust. You have to trust him. God is faithful. I am the Lord and there's none other. Malachi chapter 3. God is faithful. Listen, God wants you to trust him. We live in a world today where trust has been tore up, uprooted. That's the word I want. Uprooted, tore apart. Listen, but you have to trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Faithful is he who called you. He will also do it. Hey, what's God wanting you to do? God wants you to be obedient and faithful and trusting. He'll do the rest. Well, then you say, well, what am I going to do? You got to. David said, I'm going to wait patiently on the Lord. Didn't he? I'm going to wait because he works in ways that you cannot see. You know that? I got another great illustration how God works. It is God who works both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I loved the story of David. The young whippersnapper taking care of his father's sheep. You know what? Here we see the providence of God who man plans but God directs. One evening, Jesse said to David, David, tomorrow I want you to go and check on your brothers, and I want you to take some cheese and some bread and all the things that you take to the, because they've been in battle for 40 days. And I want you to bring something back to verify that you've been there and see how things are going. The next morning, David got up, took another young man with him, helper, and they took off and went to the battlefield. When they got to the battlefield, you know what happened? At the very moment, now listen, this is the providence. At the very moment David got into the camp and saw his brothers, here come that giant Goliath. Wait a minute. Who could have ever figured this out except on a movie script, right? Who else could have planned it that at the same moment you walk through the door, here comes Goliath, and you meet. And the roar goes out. And Israel is shaking in their boots. Have you guys ever been in a situation where you've had to do something, you think, man, I don't know if this is going to work or not? You know what? In 2003, in November, we decided to step out and buy our own house. We lived in the parsonage all of our years. We're gonna buy our own house. We didn't have two nickels to scratch together. I'm a pastor. Hey, I pastored one church that I didn't get anything. I gave up my salary just to make utility payments. So I drove a school bus. So anyway, what happened is we went out looking one day for a house. Ones we looked at, but we come past this one house, and there's a little sign in the yard. You know the little bitty signs, and it's got a cell phone number on it. You ever seen one of those? A little stick with nothing but a cell, about 3x5. And I said, Irene, call that number. Because when I went by, something happened inside me. And I said, that's the house I think we're going to buy. We called the guy who lived in Des Moines. We live in the Tumman. The guy said, I just got home. I was down there. I worked cleaning. We're going to put the house up for sale. I said, great. Can I look at it? Well, I just got back home. I said, okay. Next Friday, they came back down. And we went over and looked at the house. He gave me the price, what he wanted for the house. And I said, okay. We made a deal. Listen, I didn't have two pennies to rub together. I didn't know if I had... We went to the bank. The first bank turned us down. The bank that had banked at for 20 years. I didn't have a credit. Went to another bank, and yeah, they're making it. Hey, listen, that's how it worked. It took us 3 months to get the loan. But in a handshake, I bought a house about $55,000 worth back then. I didn't have, in 5 years, we paid it off. I know people have had to, they've remortgaged their house 3 times. Listen, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your under. So first of all, I want you to leave with this. I want you to leave with the fact that it is God that says, it is he who works in you to will and to do. Now, I can't repeat that enough. You need to know if God works in your life. If God asks you to do something, it is God that does it. Not you. You don't know what's the outcome. You just need to be obedient that God will honor his word. And notice what David said. David said to Saul, he said, Saul, listen, I was taking care of my father's sheep, and a bear came along and took one of them. You know what he did? He said, I went after it. I grabbed that bear, and I took the lamb out of his mouth, and I killed that bear. And then he said, I had an occasion with a lion. There's two types of lions in the land where David grew up at, I discovered. One was a short-haired and the other was long-haired. The long-haared was one that was the nasty one. It'll attack you. Crunch and leap. But anyway, David said, I went and grabbed that lion by the beard, and I got the lamb out, and I killed it. And he says, you know what? That 9-foot giant over there, he's nothing more than a lion and a bear to me. Now listen, there's a principle truth to learn in this. Okay? David said, God delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. God will deliver me out of the mouth of this Goliath. David was telling the family and Saul, listen, God who was faithful yesterday will be faithful to you today and will also be faithful to you tomorrow. Get it? God, he was relying on the past experience, what had God done for him in the past. That gave him confidence and assurance to allow him to stand today, and he had positive conviction in his heart because God had did it in the past, he can do it today. What he did yesterday, Hebrews 13:8. I didn't put that in either, Andrew. It's the other technician's fault. Listen, Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. The God who called you yesterday is the same God who's calling you today to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So the point for you and I today is to trust. There's one other verse of scripture I want to give in this book. This book is an encouragement, inspiring book. You need to read it. But there's one here that gives reference to your pastor. Did you know that? You didn't know it. Pastor Leo's name's in here. In chapter 2. Look at it. Chapter 2. Okay? In chapter 2, he says there is a pastor there in the local church at Philippi. His name is Ephrodius. Oh, that's not Leo. But notice, no, it is. Because go to the next verse. Here's what it says. For he longeth after you all. He's a Missourian first, and secondly. Listen, notice what it says about you. He was a local pastor of the Assembly of God, and his heart. This verse tells us the heart of your pastor this morning. That's what I witness in my spirit as I stand here. The two things I learned from this today is that God is beginning to do a work in you. He will do it. He wants to do it, to will and to do it. And for you and me to get into the attitude of, I will, Lord. I will. I will be obedient. I will allow you to work in me. And I'm going to delight myself in you. And the Bible says, if I delight myself in him, trust, he will give me the desires of my heart. Okay? And so that's a promise. And God's working. So you have to do that as assurance this morning. The second thing was, this was affirmation about the pastor to the congregation. His heart was, I love. And Paul had another pastor that he was training under his belt. You know what his name was? Timothy. Because Paul says, I hope I can send Timothy to here to the church too. So Paul, you and I today need to know, God is working in you to do and to will, and for me to trust in the Lord, all right? And God, well, as he calls you, you have to know that God is already working to make everything come together. He'll make the connections, all right? You trust, he'll make the connections. And that's what the word for you today is. It is God to will and to do. And so what it is, he wants to put into my heart, a willing heart, obedient heart, a trusting heart, and a faithful, because he is faithful that called you, he will perform it. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. And I don't know about you, but I know God speaks to me about this. But you this morning, right now, the Lord's speaking to your heart through this message. And all I want you to do is saying, yes, God is talking to me about something, and I have been dragging my feet. I've been reluctant. But God is talking to you one more time. He wants you to be willing and obedient. Will you raise your hand? Nobody else is going to know it. I see that, one hand. God's talking to you. I know it's a challenge. I see another one. Yeah. God might be calling some of you guys. Listen, God might be calling some of you to be a warrior. I see that. You know what? God called David, and what we have to know in the church, the ministry in the church, that the Bible talks about a manifold ministry. There's the ministry of prophet, preacher, evangelist. There's also the teaching ministry. There's also the ministry of giving, the offerings of helps and variety, all those kind of things in the book of Romans. But you know, also, there are some that God calls to be like David, a warrior. And they are doing spiritual battle in the heavenlies so the rest of you can do the work in the physical realm. You got that? God does working in some that will stand in the gap and pray. And David was one of those guys who confronted the enemy. He recognized the enemy, who is a threat to Israel's nationality and peace. And you and I need to know that there are the same thing happening in spiritual realms out here, that there are spiritual attacks against the church. But God raises up some of you, gives you insight and discernment and knowledge how to pray against those forces of darkness so that the work of God can be completed. Okay? And so God, maybe you may understand why God's calling you to do something. Lord, I thank you for these hands that were raised this morning. They're saying, Lord, I recognize you're speaking into my life today. You've been talking to me in the past. Now, God, I pray that you will cause it to happen as they become saying yes to you, Lord. The raising of their hands said, yes, I acknowledge you, Lord, today. And I'm going to trust you to do a work. God, I'm going to pray that you're going to anoint them with power from on high to be able to do it. They've made one step, now I'm praying the other. That I'm praying for them that you will bless them and strengthen them and impart wisdom and knowledge into their heart and life to be able to walk out what you're asking them to do. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
I got one final story to tell you this morning. And this also relates to, as a young kid, that was 20 years ago. I'm only 39. Okay. Listen, when I was a young kid, got out of high school, I felt the call of God on my life. So I took off in 1962 in the summer. I had $300 in my pocket. I had a 1957 Ford Fairlane 500. Beautiful car. I took off to go to California to college. I got 400 and some miles away from home. And a storm came up. And I stopped and called my mom. And my mom said, do what you have to do. I turned around and went back home. Now, I thought I failed God. But 2 years later, I'm ending up in Ohio and get Bible college. You see, I thought God's plan was me to go out there. God never planned for me to go to California in the first place. See, Proverbs 16:9, what did it say? Andrew, put that back up there. Proverbs 16:9. I want you to remember this verse as I close and turn back to pastor. A man's heart plans his ways, but God directs his path. See, I thought I was doing something, was God, but I missed it. But God brought it back around, and I did what he wanted me to do. And for you today, you plan, but listen, God will put bumps in the road. And you're not able to get done what you want to do because God's got something else in mind.
Amen.
And he didn't let it be known. Okay?
Enjoy the Lord today.
Amen.
Father, we just rejoice in this day that we can come out to be together, to encourage one another, to lift one another up. And we pray that, Father, as we leave this place, that your hand would be upon each and every one of our lives. And, Father, you would draw us all back as soon as possible. And we ask it today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said,
Amen.
You are dismissed. Have a great week, everybody.